Good morning and welcome to Lincoln County Connections. I'm Casey Miller, Lincoln County's Public Information Officer. I hope you had a great holiday. Thanks for joining us this Thursday morning. And we come to you every Thursday here through Uquinna Bay Communications. I'm pleased to announce, sitting in front of the microphone today, is our Assistant Director of Juvenile, Patty Robb. Good morning. Thanks for coming on the program. Patty, when did you move to Lincoln County?
2018. Prior to that, I worked in the federal system as a federal probation officer for about 20 years. But before that, I worked in the juvenile system in Polk County and McLaren State System and residential drug and alcohol treatment for youth. Yeah, I have a very well-rounded background.
Well, I think your trajectory is interesting that we were talking about. Early in your career, you were in juvenile.
Yes.
And then you went into federal work. What'd you do?
I was a pre-sentence writer for many years, and I moved into supervision and the reentry court program there. The great thing about the federal system is it gave me a chance to travel nationally and to become very familiar with evidence-based practices, see what other states and municipals were involved in, what works and doesn't work, and to bring that experience here.
So when we say evidence-based, I almost feel like this is just a buzzword that I throw around, a lot of guests throw around, but how would you define that for us? I mean, what does that mean, evidence-based, especially in your discipline?
So for us, what that means is really looking at risk factors as dynamic, changing. So you aren't putting people in boxes. For example, if they come onto supervision, you don't assess them and only assess them once. It's an ongoing process where you're continuously assessing how they're doing. Mm. And based on how they're doing, you target certain strategies to help them or provide whatever their needs are. And so since that's always changing, so are the strategies and the needs. If you're doing that, then you're using evidence-based strategies to address risk.
Interesting. I kind of thought you were going to say we look at these data of studies. You probably do that too, but it's more like you're saying you look at the individual and how their progress is going, the evidence and what you see in them.
Yes. Traditionally, we might have, just based on our own experience as a caseworker, realize what might or might not have worked based on a risk level. Instead, we're using evidence and we're going to that data and saying, they've had these studies. This is what works for high risk people. And we want to use these strategies. An example might be a low risk client doesn't need as frequent of contact. You can actually do more damage by having too much of a frequency of contact with them. So you would want to have less contact with them if they're low risk, more contact with them if they're high risk, to provide their needs.
And there's accountability there thing too. It's almost like we're measuring the actions as well.
Yes.
Which seems really philosophically important, because we're probably more what we do than what we think. And your trajectory as well, we were talking about you being a parent and me, the things I'm learning from being a parent. Early in your career, you weren't a parent working with kids, and now you are a parent, you work with kids. It does change things, doesn't it?
It definitely does. In my earlier days, I was a juvenile PO when I was 22. I didn't have kids, and I had parents frequently that would say, "You don't have kids and you don't understand." And I would say, "Oh no, I understand. I've been working with kids for a while now." Certainly after I had my own kids, I had a new empathy for parents.
Yeah, totally. Well, and how much, you know, we are shaping their futures. It is sort of a fascinating thing. It's got me scratching my head quite a bit. And I've certainly changed from being a parent. Here you are. You're in Lincoln County. You've been here since April. One of the things that you had mentioned to me would be good for us to talk about was serving homeless youth. And I want to kind of decode somewhat in a simple way for our listeners how the system works. And I think sometimes when we say the system, I'm gathering that you're saying that traditionally this has been someone who is in the judicial track.
So traditionally we've served youth who are in the system, so to say, in DHS, probation, Oregon Youth Authority. They're being served by those agencies. They might be homeless and we're providing services to those youth, but youth who aren't involved with those services, who are homeless, have not been included in our services.
Yeah.
And that's something we want to change.
We know that those numbers are very, very high in Lincoln County. Did it strike you in any particular way?
I was surprised when I came here. I came from Lane County, so they have a pretty big homeless problem. So it wasn't that it was shocking for me to see that, but I was surprised that it was here. And I asked a lot of partners, why is this area so high for homelessness?
Yeah.
And I think it's a question a lot of people have that isn't answered, but for a lot of reasons.
a few weeks ago spoke to with Katie Townsend. I don't know if you've met her yet. You probably have integrated with her with the help centers. And gosh, it hurts a lot to think about that many people struggling. And so I'm so glad to see this new model that you are championing, which is really to have interagency coordination.
That's a big piece of it. It's really working with our partners to collaborate on there's a lot of great services in Lincoln County.
Yeah.
We really want to work together to make sure that we're sharing and all being a part of those services for our youth. We're serving the same youth.
Yeah.
So we should be working together.
Awesome. I love it. Patricia Robb or Patty Robb, we'll be back in just a moment on Lincoln County Connections. Back on Lincoln County Connections with Patty Robb of Juvenile. And I will say you are the assistant director, not director.
That's right.
I just want to be clear about that. And that is Tony Camp, whom I'm looking forward to having on the show soon. Tony's a great guy. And really, with both of you doing what you do, we had a pretty big change of leadership in recent years.
I was very fortunate. I arrived here 6 months before Tony did. Very happy to find out we were very much on the same page in how we wanted to go about what change.
He seems very proactive to me and has a lot of enthusiasm. That must be exciting for you as well, to work with somebody who's pumped to do stuff.
Yeah. He's great. He drives a lot of the energy in our department, and we really appreciate his support.
Yeah, I think there's a real sense of wanting to do good things. And, you know, before we went to break, we talked about that interagency coordination. The organizations in our community are kind of in their silos. And you've begun to look out to partnerships and ways that we can see, hey, maybe are we duplicating certain aspects of services? How can we maximize what we're doing? A lot of what you do is general fund driven. Is that correct?
It is correct.
We don't see resources coming to Juvenile, but is it a little different for community corrections as a whole?
Community corrections model is different in that it is driven by state funding, and then Juvenile is driven by county funding.
Has that been the case for other jurisdictions that you've seen? Is this typical for Oregon?
I think there are less counties that are organized this way. I don't know how many exactly are that way, but the majority are all most likely going to be county driven.
What I love about this and where your mindset's going, though, is that working with others, how we can prioritize the use of the funding. I think it's just a wonderful thing. You want to talk a little bit about bringing a clinician in? Has that already happened, or is that coming?
Our clinician is here. She's been here for about a month.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. So how's it going so far?
Great. It's worked really good. It's a different model in where she's in-house so that we don't have what would be a typical referral process. Not that we don't have great partners. We have excellent partners for mental health services, but having our own in-house person allows for a quicker response time to needs.
Yeah.
And not just in our shelter, but in detention and our probation department as well.
So you get that clinician across community corrections as a whole?
We do. We share. She's wonderful. She has a variety of experience, not only in probation systems, but prison systems and private practice. She's worked with youth and adults. We're very blessed to have someone with such talent.
Man, I can see in your face that you are really to have this person.
If we have a youth who's in crisis, she can respond immediately to that crisis. It's a priority in her workload. So it's just been great to have someone who can more immediately be there and be present as we need. And we aren't sharing priorities with other departments.
Nice. That's great. What do you think are some common things that people don't realize about Juvenile and community corrections? Is there anything unique to Lincoln County or misconceptions that you've observed?
They're very different in the first place, adult versus juvenile.
Yeah.
In the juvenile system, I guess I could speak to that many people see us there as a good resource to help. And some may feel like we're trying to pull kids into a system that's going to be perhaps lifelong and create problems longer down the road. But what I want people to know and be aware of is that we're there to help. We don't want, our whole goal is to keep kids out of the system, so to say.
Right.
And that's what we want to do.
that's an important thing, right? Because thinking of sort of like human nature and the path of least resistance, can a person rely on that as opposed to self-reliance? I mean, does that happen?
For example, with the homeless population that we want to begin serving that are not involved in the system, they're pretty independent individuals, even as youth.
Yeah.
They've been able to identify resources they need, whether that be people or food or shelter, whatever they might need, that is not part of, so to say, the system. We're expanding to be able to help them. We don't want to pull them into a system. We want them to remain independent and on that track, but also to be there to help them.
Yeah, it's got to be tough for some of these kids.
Yes, it really is.
Yeah. Patricia Robb with Juvenile will be back in just a moment. This is our last break. Stay with us. We are talking to Patty Robb of Juvenile. Yeah, I think, Patty, it would be good to talk about how does somebody access the services? What are the pathways?
The different pathways right now are that, yes, definitely, if there's a referral to our department, our services are available to those youth.
Okay.
But if for youth that aren't involved with the juvenile department, not in trouble, they're just perhaps homeless or unaccompanied, they don't have a parent here in the county, but they're attending school or they need more support, the best way to reach out to us for housing assistance in our shelter or other resources would be through the school, other community partners, mental health, if they have a counselor, or GED services, the HELP program. There's a lot of different programs serving youth, and they're all connected to us in one way or the other. So one of the positive things about the new direction we're going in serving homeless youth, not relying on all of those partners to make those referrals. And people are also welcome to reach out to me directly if they're not really sure where to start. I'm more than happy to help them get to where they need to.
I mean, forgive my ignorance here, but if there is, you know, a young person without parents, for example, they could possibly have shelter with Juvenile if they're homeless.
They could. So depending on their age, depends on how long we could house them. Say they were homeless, they were staying in somebody's home with them, and for some reason they're not able to continue to stay there. But they want to continue to go to school or work or whatever it is that they're doing, and they need a place to live, then our shelter would be open to those youth.
What does the shelter look like? I mean, can you just paint a picture? What are the sizes of the facility?
So our facility is pretty interesting. It does house probation, detention, and a shelter housing program.
It's doing a lot.
It is doing a lot. It looks like a house. It's in a residential area, which I really like. It doesn't stand out.
Nice.
It looks like it should be right where it's at. It's next to the skate park, so it's really kind of integrated into the community. The shelter program itself is a home environment. So youth generally share a bedroom with another youth, or the girls, for example, have a dorm setting. But it's very much set up like a home, and it's meant to be very home-like environment. We're not wanting to institutionalize or be a facility, so to say. We want it to be a home.
So it doesn't look like a jail, obviously.
It does not.
But are some kids in a lockdown environment?
They are in another area of our building.
Okay.
So they're not in view or sound or a part of the shelter program. That's a separate part of the building. And I know it's hard to describe without seeing it.
But sometimes that's a need, right?
It is. So, I mean, if we have youth that need to go to detention, that option's in our building to serve youth. But the shelter youth are generally youth that are in DHS care or maybe homeless probation youth, and they're not involved with the detention area of our department. They're in the home part of our building that looks like a home, that feels like a home, and that's what it's meant to be.
We've got just about a minute left, Patty. I sense that you may be growing opportunities for volunteers into the future.
We are, yes. That's a new component that we're adding to our program. Traditionally, we haven't had volunteers, but we want to grow that piece of our program. Those that have special talents that want to share, certainly we want to have opportunities for those people to come and teach our youth those things.
Yeah, that'll be great the more that this unfolds. And for those of you listening to us, of course, we could go to the Lincoln County website to find out more about you. Are you guys doing any kind of social media stuff these days or have plans to?
We plan to expand that area. We do have a website. There is a volunteer application on there.
Okay.
And our contact information is on there. My information is on there. So people are welcome to contact me directly if they want to know more about how to volunteer or become involved with some of these youth on a volunteer basis.
And I sense, too, that that one could go to the shelter and literally walk in the front door. I mean, you do have a lobby. Could you come in there and ask any questions if you wanted to?
You actually couldn't just come right in there. You'd have to have a background check first.
Okay.
But you could certainly come into the juvenile department, which is in another part of the building where I'm at. And we could definitely work towards that goal.
Well, I appreciate everything you're doing, and thanks for your first time on County Connections.
Yes, thank you for having me.
So you'll come back, right?
I will. Okay. I promise.
Well, good. And if you're listening, thanks for joining us today, too. And remember, if you want to listen to this broadcast, it's first going to be on KNPT or Yukona Bay Communications website, and then we'll archive it on the county's website. So until next Thursday, thanks for listening, and have a great day.